This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Danner. Boots are meant to take you somewhere. Since 1932, Danner has been living by that belief, which is why they've been crafting boots with purpose and integrity in Portland, Oregon, so that you can head out on any adventure knowing you're showing up prepared for whatever's down the road. Danner also so strongly believes in the quality of their footwear that they are committed to recrafting your old USA-made Danner boots into ones that are better than new. Because whether it's a shale-covered path, a dirt road, the base of a waterfall, or the top of a mountain, your boots are the vessel to get you somewhere you've always wanted to experience. Learn more by heading to danner.com. This episode of She Explores is also brought to you by Smartwool. Smartwool wants to share their love of the outdoors with more people, which is why they make performance clothes that uncomplicate your adventures. It's also why they dig into the technology of making clothes that help make you more comfortable when you're out there. Whether it's by using body mapping data to design apparel based on where you sweat, or using feedback from athletes to design their PhD Pro series of socks. Stay tuned for later in the episode. I'll share my experience testing out Smartwool's Intranit 200 3D knit base layers in the desert in Arizona and home in New Hampshire. Learn more at smartwool.com. Go far, feel good. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
But when I started like a supporter, I learned many, many things. I learned it's not just me. I learned I need to do something not just for me. I need to do something for my people. Because the porter, they are, how do you say this? They are the who have the heritage from the Incas society. Now they are losing many things, working in the discrimination, working in the exploitation, and I want to change that.
This is Lucia Mercleyuli Velasosa. She's talking about her experience as one of the few women porters on the Inca Trail in Peru. If you've trekked abroad in Peru, Nepal, or Tanzania, odds are good that you've worked with a guiding company that hires local porters who help carry your gear and supplies for camp. We featured a few trips like this on the podcast this year, hikes up Kilimanjaro to Annapurna Base Camp and to Machu Picchu. As you heard Lucia say, Indigenous porters have a valuable connection to the heritage of the Inca and to the mountains of Peru. But they aren't always treated with the respect or provided the benefits they deserve by the companies they work for. It can be hard for tourists to hear, especially those that care about responsible travel and have done what they can to be respectful hikers. But as you'll hear in this episode, we as tourists are in a unique, pretty positive position to learn more and ask for change. Today we'll hear about empowering both porters and tourists to speak up for workforce equity in the trekking industry.
So with the industry in Peru, Nepal, and Tanzania, as a hiker and a tourist for a long time doing treks in these places, it occurred to me that there is something that a lot of tourists don't know about, and it has to do with the workforce of the industry, which would be the porters.
This is Marinel De Jesus. You might recognize her from an earlier episode or the She Explores book. After almost 20 years practicing as a lawyer in Washington, D.C., she left the U.S. and her career to pursue Peak Explorations, her social enterprise international trekking company. She lives in the Cusco, Peru area and works with local trekking operators around the world to promote responsible tourism. As we'll hear, first starting as a hiker and then immersing herself in the trekking industry, Marinel is passionate about fighting for change. She's collaborating with porters like Lucia to form the Porter Voice Collective, and currently is raising money to produce Kilometra 82, a documentary that tells the story of porters in Peru.
The Porter Voice Collective came out of the idea that there is a gap between what porters are experiencing in all three countries and what the tourists know about what's happening with them. I've known the problems for a long while now, probably over a decade at this point. And, you know, I had a career in US, so I wasn't really, you know, able to do anything about it. The Porter Voice Collective came out of the idea that the porters have voices, but they don't have a platform to share those voices. Every porter I spoke to will tell me some of the problems, you know, and sometimes it's, I can't really get the real answer because there is no trust between us. I think the Porter Voice Collective is sort of a platform for them to finally be able to share those stories without feeling threatened, without feeling intimidated. A lot of the porters are very much threatened by companies to this day. They cannot speak their truths. And this is a typical, you know, honestly, this is a typical scenario in any industry when you have whistleblowers. When porters want to speak up about the conditions, they can't because they're, you know, there's retaliation happening. It could be a threat to their safety or it could be losing their jobs. So the Porter Voice Collective is important because it is a way for them to speak up. They have the option to go on a video to share their stories fully, or they can hide behind a camera and write a story. And, you know, we can hide their faces and make it anonymous. So I think this came out of really what, based on my own research in these three industries, now having my own enterprise that focuses on tracking, I learned a lot that the problem is there's a disconnect between what tourists know about the industry and what's happening with the porters. And the Porter Collective will be the, it will be the bridge. I would love for it to be the bridge to connect those two worlds together, because once we connect those two worlds, I really believe that we can be such a powerful force working together to make the industry much more equitable and more inclusive.
So the Porter Voice Collective gives porters a platform to share their truths. To date, it's been difficult to quantify the problems in the industry.
It's really hard to figure out how porters are being treated as work as part of the workforce. And the Kilometer 82 is a documentary that will share the truths about the industry and what's happening with the porters. And over time, I learned that we don't really know everything. There are issues with how they're being paid. For example, there's issue where they sleep. I actually learned in Nepal that some porters still sleep in caves, and that's also true in Kilimanjaro and Peru. Some porters are not being paid at all because the companies are cutting costs. Some porters actually do not even, you know, they don't have proper sleeping gear. They don't have mats or blankets. They don't have proper tents. In Camino Inca, the porters sleep in dining tents. And so they end up sleeping in the bathrooms because there's no ground cloth. The secret behind this industry is really all about whether we are treating the workforce with equity and, you know, being a responsible tourism industry. And what I learned is that we're not. I think a lot of the transparency is lost. Actually, it probably never existed. Not a lot of us know about what's happening. And I think the fact that it's very, very vague and very kept hidden served the purposes of the companies at the expense of the tourists, because it is very expensive to go on these treks. These tourism dollars are hard earned by people who go on these treks. And I think as a tourist, we want to make sure that, you know, we're paying the porters because they're actually the backbone of the industry.
I want to turn back to Lucia here. Lucia is a mother of two who went back to college in her late 20s. There she was exposed to the idea of becoming a guide on the Inca Trail. But in order to learn more and practice English, she and a classmate, Sarah, decided to become porters first. They were one of few women porters on the trail.
I see like a good opportunity for learn something more in the Inca Trail than I think never could learn those things if I know work as a porter. And I started last year on June, or maybe May, I can't remember good, the first time. I went with my classmate Sarah, and the first time was I cannot remember, it was hard, but for me it was most exciting for look again the Inca Trail, because the first time when I made in Qatar was well in the school.
Lucia aptly describes the trekking industry of being made up of three worlds: a world of the tourist, a world of the porter, and a world of the guide.
When I went for work as a porter, and also when I went the first time working as a guide, assistant guide, because from this year I'm starting working as a guide, I can understand in Inca Trail there are three worlds. Going to Inca Trail like a tourist, going to Inca Trail as a porter, going to Inca Trail as a guide tourist. It's different. Because when the tourists go, it's always the people support to them. If it gets sick, if it gets tired, it is cold, raining, or wherever. Working as a guide is also something the same. Only he need to think about the responsibility for the tourists. Work as a porter is more difficult because they need fight with the weather, they need fight with the bad hard path, with the heavy backpack, with the bad food, with the discrimination from some guide tourists, from some cookers, from the Cernan office and things like that.
If you didn't catch it, Lucia said Cernan, Cernanp, which is the government agency that manages the park and the Inca Trail. So although there are legal standards for Inca Trail porters, weight limits, standard pay, to name a few, many big trekking companies are more interested in cutting costs and increasing profit margins, and they're able to get away with not following the laws. Marinelle explains that being a woman porter, like Lucia and her classmate Sarah, comes with another layer of discrimination.
At first, you know, when I heard about the women hiking on Camino Inca as porters, because I've done Camino Inca a few years back, they were all men. And when I heard Lucia was doing it and all these women were doing it, I was excited because, wow, that's cool. I see women on the trail like me. But when I thought about it more and I talked more to Lucia and all these other women that told me about the experience, I realized there's a problem with this new idea. It comes with challenges. Women porters are a new phenomenon for one. We are living in Peru. And so I have to say that the culture is very much male driven. There's machismo in every aspect of life. So that means when you're a woman porter on Camino Inca, you cannot stay away from the experiences of being a woman and being in a male-dominated society where there is machismo, which means on Camino Inca, the women are experiencing a level of harassment, perhaps, or discrimination. And this has been reported to me by the women porters themselves. So it added another layer to the conditions on Camino Inca for porters. And for women specifically, their gender, being a woman, can also be an issue. There are problems with, you know, working with, you know, the government officials for one. You know, some of the government officials would actually question why they're on Camino Inca, like what they're doing there, that they question their ability. At times they think they're a masseuse or a massage therapist. You know, the men have yet to accept the fact that women can do the work on Camino Inca. This is why Kilometer 82 is also important, because for the purposes of ensuring that women are safe, and we're advocating for their safety and for their right to be on Camino Inca.
We'll hear more from Marinelle and Lucia after this. A few episodes ago, I learned from Sue Jesch, director of design at Smartwool, about how Smartwool used body mapping data to design gender-specific intranet 3D knit base layers. To put it simply, by knowing more about where we store and release heat on our bodies when we're in the outdoors, they're able to craft base layers that help keep us more comfortable when we're out doing what we love. I got to try Smartwool's new Intranit 200 base layers. I wore them to the Sonoran Desert in Arizona on a backpacking trip, and they were perfect to put on after dark when the chill set in. I really appreciate that I'm still able to move in them. They're warm, but they're not bulky. That's partly due to the 3D knitting and body mapping technology. There's ventilation where I'm likely to heat up, and insulation where I need extra warmth. So no extra fabric, which also means less waste. Here in New Hampshire, we just had our first big snow, and I'm confident that the flexible Internet 200 base layers are going to be great snowshoeing companions in our often cold and wet climate. Learn more at smartwool.com. Go far, feel good.
As a tourist, a lot of us want ethical travel. I want to believe that we all care about our environment. We all care about each other. And if we are not being fed the truth and we're not being told the truth, I think it's a way for us to be silenced as well, if you think about it. A lot of the tourists cannot do anything. They look at me and they ask me what's going on with the porters. And it's because they're clueless. And the cluelessness leads to tourists not being able to do anything, basically suppressing their own voices and to be heard and make demands of an industry so they can have equitable and responsible travel and feel good about the experience.
We're back. Odds are, listening, that of the three worlds Lucia mentioned, you're likely to fall into the world of the tourist. And I want to acknowledge that it's probably hard to hear about all this. It might give you an uneasy feeling in your stomach, or you might be thinking that you treated the porters well on your last trip. Well, two truths can exist at once. Marinel stressed to me that she doesn't blame the tourists, but hikers can be allies and accomplices for porters by asking for change. So why do you think that tourists might not necessarily be aware of this problem when they go and they do a hike?
I have to resort to me being a tourist when I was younger, because I can totally relate to the idea of being naive about the industry when I was much younger and a beginner tourist. I think it's easy to overlook the problems in the industry because when you go on vacation, you're looking forward to taking a break from your real life. So to us, many of us, we romanticize travel, and you know, there are reasons for that because it is a beautiful experience. So it's easy to come to Camino Inca and not see the problems because, for one, you come with a mindset of everything is great. So I think because we have that mindset as tourists, we even if we see certain things that are not right, it's easy to kind of just say, oh, you know, maybe that's an isolated incident. That's not true. Maybe there's a reason for that. And to be honest, I have to say I'm so guilty of that when I was a younger tourist. You know, I dismissed a lot of the things I felt were wrong. And this all came from intuition. Your gut feeling when you're trekking to Kilimanjaro, knowing there's something off, we tend to not really pay attention to it because we're trying to enjoy the experience. So from a viewpoint of a tourist, we already kind of have a hurdle from the beginning. It's this thing that we have to overcome. We need to be more open to what we're seeing, both the good and the bad. And it's all, I know it's kind of a negative thing sometimes to actually see the bad stuff as a tourist, but you know, in the long term, if we are more open to it, at least we know we can do something about it. And we can talk to the operators about it. At the very least, we can ask them, hey, I saw this on the trail. Can you tell me more about that? And I didn't do that for the longest time because I didn't want to ruin my experience as a tourist. So I think that's really the number one reason why for us as tourists, we don't see the problems. But the second reason is the industry is very good with hiding things. I'm not naming any company. It's just a systemic way it's been done. It's easy to get away with stuff because it's not very clear what's going on. You don't really notice where the porters sleep or what they eat unless you really, really have to intentionally do the research. So it's easy for the industry to just keep everything in the dark. And the pay, it's hard to even know how much they're getting paid. That's a major example. So combining those two together really has created this sort of industry where tourists are unable to see the truth. And that is why, you know, the documentary is very important.
And in considering all this, you also have to add another layer, the language barrier.
The reason why there has been a disconnect with what tourists know about the porters' lives, it has to do with language. When porters cannot speak the language that the industry speaks, such as English or Spanish, that is a cause and the root of the oppression and the marginalization. If you cannot speak the language of the people in power, you are at a very disadvantage. most porters, if not the majority, if not all of them, speak Quechua. So when you go on Camino Inca, you cannot communicate with the porters directly. You have to go through the guides to translate. The problem is not all guides are, you know, supportive of porters. They're not going to be able to connect the bridge, so or to connect the gaps. And so you go as a tourist, you hardly ever talk to the porters because you have a language barrier. And the kilometer 82 is going to create the bridge in order for the porters' voices to finally be heard in a language where the people in power or the people who have the power to make the changes can finally hear and understand what they're talking about. And this is really why Kilometer 82 is being done. And the Porter Collective, the Porter Voice Collective was born out of that. The same problem of language barrier exists in Nepal because there's 100 groups of indigenous people there and also in Kilimanjaro. So I just hope that the people will listen and make their own conclusions and decide, what kind of tourist do I want to be? Do I want to be the one who's just going to follow the lead, whatever the tourism industry is doing now? Or do I want to do better as a tourist? And that's really what I would like for the women, for the people who are listening to think about.
Again, the documentary Marinelle's referring to is Kilometra 82, which the Porter Voice Collective is currently in the process of raising $15,000 to produce.
Kilometer 82 will definitely create that change, create the change by way of a joint effort between tourists and porters. And our hope is that with education and with tourists knowing about what's happening, they will be armed with the knowledge and the insight to say something. I think really what we're using here to make the create the change in an industry, Gail, is the voices. It's the voice of the porters combined with the voice of the tourists. And so if you combine both, I'm not sure where the wiggle room would be for an industry to not do anything. I really feel that the problem with the industry is lack of accountability. There isn't anybody monitoring this and saying, hey, you know, you got to do it this way or you got to do it that way. Companies can do whatever the heck they want. There's a lot of leeway for that. But if there are people saying, we can't, you know, endure this. We can't just accept this. We need a change. We need to have better, you know, treatment of porters. We need better industry. We need to be more equitable coming from both ends, from porters and tourists. It is creating definitely a joint effort to create a change in an industry.
What do you hope that people who watch the documentary, what do you hope that they'll take away from it? Like, what do you hope that they'll learn in watching the documentary?
I hope all the people can see this movie, that they need to learn how we are living now, what we can do. And they can start asking all the companies, they need to know the responsibility have to them. They have the most responsibility when they want to come and visit Inca tribe. They need to ask about the salary for the porter, what food they eat, where they sleep, and try to talk with them. I know the language is difficult, but the most guys are simple if you try to talk with them. I hope with this movie we can break the difference from the language. They can start in the Inca tribe living together, get a good experience together. Because every trip is not just for the tourists, it's also for everyone that goes to Inca tribe. Because every trip is different. The people is different, the weather is different. The guys, always we are happy working because for us, the very good present is the work, is the job. Only we need fair, how do you say? Only we need
fair treatment.
Yes, fair treatment. Good treatment.
I hope that people, when they watch the film, that they get that message too. And I also hope that people, when they listen to this podcast and they hear you speak, Lucia, that I know that they'll connect with you and want to learn more about all the porters and the Porter Voice Collective and the documentary. I know that I am very moved by hearing you speak and hearing a bit of your story, and I'm very thankful to you for sharing it with me today.
Thank you to you for listening to us.
We'll hear more about Lucia and Kilometer 82 after this. Ritual is an obsessively researched vitamin for women. It helps us get the essential nutrients we need, whether we're on the trail, at home, or on the move. Two easy-to-take daily vitamins provide 9 nutrients. I've been taking Ritual for a year, and it gives me a confidence boost when I'm traveling, especially during cold season. I feel like I have my foundation set, so when I get out there, I'm more focused on nature and moving my body than anything else. Ritual vitamins come as a monthly subscription that's really easy to pause. I'm a bit forgetful myself, so though I love the Ritual aspect of taking vitamins, I don't always remember. If I miss a few days, I can pause and start it up again so I'm not paying extra. Ritual knows that better health doesn't happen overnight, and right now they're offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Fill in the gaps in your diet with Essential for Women, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body. Visit ritual.com/explore to start your Ritual today. That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/explore. We're back. One of the reasons Lucia wants to be a guide is to connect people with the culture and heritage of the Inca Trail. That connection is incredibly important, but not all trekking agencies see this.
Because heritage is not just archaeology site. Heritage is not good views. Heritage was also the human, the people, how we live and what we think about the nature, the God, the air, the harmony with the world, with the environment. No?
Environment, yeah. Land.
Lucia shared how agencies require porters to wear uniforms that don't represent the culture of Quechuan people.
Now, in the first time when I went as a porter, all the people, all the porters, I'm using uniform from the agency. And the most guys, the most porters don't want this uniform because that's not represents the culture.
I have to be honest, when I first started researching, I didn't realize I was going to run into an issue with indigenous rights. I thought this was just a work condition issue or a job problem, you know, industry problem with pay and typical labor issue. But I think what really, really blew my mind was that we have managed systemically in this industry to forget what it means to be Quechua or have this Inca heritage. And Lucia said it best, you know, she feels that the Camino Inca has erased that part. They wear uniforms. They don't even own those uniforms. They wear them and then they return them to the companies. They never get to display their culture by wearing the skirts or wearing the ponchos that show the design that tells the story of their people. And actually, when I discovered this, I realized there's over 70% of the porters coming from the Quechua-speaking community. We're dealing with a majority of indigenous people in Peru that are part of Camino Inca. But when we go on Camino Inca, we hardly ever see that identity anymore and the culture from the people. We, you know, Lucia said it really well. We talk about archaeology and the Machu Picchu, but there's more to just than the land where we can learn about the culture. It's going to come from the people themselves. But somehow this industry has managed to forget that, has managed to not ever ask the indigenous community, how can we incorporate you as part of this heritage, as part of this travel experience. And it kind of really breaks my heart, to be honest, doing this work, because it resonates with me being Filipina, and it resonates with me erasing my own culture through colonialism. So it's a bigger issue than it is, to be honest. And that's really the biggest thing I learned about the trucking tourism industry. It goes beyond just making the working conditions better. It goes towards the person's identity and value in this place, in this world.
This is one reason the fundraiser for the Kill Metra documentary also supports women weavers of the Quechua community.
When we started thinking about the crowdfunding for Kilometre 82, I was sort of wondering, well, how do we facilitate the prizes and the funding? You know, how do we promote the campaign? And at first, we were just going to try to partner with outdoor brands, maybe, or, you know, some people from the U.S. And then for some reason, I ended up meeting Alberto, who's the Porter Federation president. I started visiting his community. He introduced me to the women weavers. I learned that Willow Alto, where they live, is actually very historical for porters. That's where they all started. The porters actually originated from Willow Alto. And when I spent more time with them, I learned how beautiful the culture is. And the women weavers were amazing. They were very skilled, very artistic with their, you know, with their textiles. And that's really the focus of their community, is to create textiles. And when I spoke more with the women, they told us that, you know, what they really want for the message they want to send to tourists is that they want tourists to come and share their culture, and they want them to come to visit them, their community. They didn't really want to just, you know, come to a big city or sell their products somewhere. They really enjoy and appreciate when tourists come to visit their community, understand the Quechua speaking communities and what they're about. So that's how the idea came to be. I thought, well, the textiles are amazing. You know, I, for one, would love to have these textiles. And so I realized, well, why don't we support this community? Because after all, they are the wives of the porters. This is very connected to the story that we're making. And why don't we help the families? And this is what they want. They actually told us what they want and how tourism should look like. I think one problem with the Camino Inca is the culture and identity of the Quechua people are very much erased. They don't have anything, any platform to share their culture and identity. And the communities, when you visit the mountain communities, that's where you really learn about who they are. And so we thought it would be amazing to do a campaign where we bring their stories to people in U.S. or other countries by sharing their textiles and selling them. And so by way of buying their textiles, people who buy them will actually have a slice or a take on a taste of what their culture is about, because I'm told that the textile designs have stories behind them, and every textile is unique. So when people buy the textiles, they get a textile as with a specific design and unique to that you know, textile. And we can then have the women share the story, because we're going to have like a thank you card included in the textile, and we'll tell the story of what the design is about. So this is a way to connect two worlds. And I love that concept, because, you know, I moved to Peru. And so to me, this is very personal as well. It's like I'm seeing all these beautiful things in Peru, and I want to share that with the world, and at the same time, helping the community.
Even though Lucia is able to guide, she wants to also continue working as a porter so she can stay close to the issues at hand. As she learns more English, she will continue to advocate for the rights of her people. So it's really important to have guides like you.
Yes.
To connect to the present of who the people are and the place.
Yes, this is my challenge, my personal challenge from this year. Also, I want to continue work as a porter, no matter if I might have now the card for going as like a guy. Because when I go like a porter, I can remember why I'm doing again in Catrine with a heavy backpack. Why I'm fighting? We are fighting with everyone, with bad agents, with the government, with all. I can remember while I'm carrying again the very backpack. That's why I go continue working. I will go continue working as a guy and also as a porter, or try to talk with the other guys, with many ladies, for learn why they need fight for our rights. Why we are coming here, and we need all the people, all the porter, young porter ladies than they are coming from this year, they need to get away, no work all the time as a porter, get a vision for the future, for growing up together, because that's need be the mission, that need be the mission.
Lucia is also passionate about being an example for other women, especially single mothers.
That's why I'm still talking with the new ladies, young ladies also. Many ladies have childs like me, because I have childs, two childs, because I started the college later than I get my childs. Now I'm living alone with my children. For me, it was too hard to get one profession with the children, but it's not impossible. It's difficult way, but it's not impossible. I'm always trying talking with many ladies about this, and they can do. They need to, because they need to take care of the children and give good future to them.
You sound like a very good role model, a good example for other women porters and aspiring guides.
Yes, because I broke all those skills, because the many ladies say, you can do that because you are young. No, I am not young. Almost I have 30 years old. 1 year more, I will be 30 years old. And almost other ladies say, you can do that because you are alone. I am not alone. I have 2 children. And I break all those excuses. You can do that because you are single. No, and the last year this year I married. And things like that. Because you can do that because you are thin. No. You can work as a guide because you learn it, the language. No, I don't learn. I'm still learning. But no was the school. You just I'm trying to do myself. I'm trying to learn myself, because I don't have choice for go to the school. I need to do alone. I need to do myself. And also I'm trying to learn the children, my children. If they want to do something, just do practicing all the time. Continue. This is the good way for do something.
I actually love your podcast, to be honest, because your followers and your community is an amazing group of women. And while I was doing a lot of the research and work here in Peru, I realized, I think for the most part, the women are going to change the industry, because a lot of women are coming into this industry as new people, a new component to it, and their eyes are wide open. They're listening, they're paying attention, like Lucia is. I'm listening, I'm paying attention, and I'm angry because this has been going on for 50 years. And I really would like to appeal to your audience as a fellow woman that we can all make that change, because we cannot tolerate an industry where it's outdoors, it's the place we love, that we are gonna allow women to suffer through this. And Lucia is doing her part. I'm doing my part the best I can. But I think for the most part, the way we can all make this change for the women as well as the porters themselves in general is for all of us women to rally together and do our little parts, you know, so that we can collectively create the big change. And so I'm really, you know, Lucia and I are grateful for any moment we have to speak about the industry, because at least this is really the way for us to at least connect the bridge.
Marinelle, I'd love to hear how listeners of this podcast can support Kilometer 82 as well as the Porter Voice Collective.
We would ask the tourists to support the Porter Voices by basically actually educating themselves. We want the tourists to educate themselves. It's for their own benefit. as tourists, we put in a lot of tourism dollars into this industry. And because of that, I think we have a stake in it. We have the standing and the, we have the right to say something if we don't feel good about how the industry is running its workforce. We want to promote workforce equity tourism, and we want tourists to rally behind this notion. We have ideas in which we promote, keeping the land clean and respecting environment. I think it's time for us, if we support responsible and ethical tourism, to include the workforce in this scenario. That's why we're, as Port of Voice Collective, is a supporter of the notion of workforce equity tourism, which means that the industry will have a standard in which they would ensure the equitable and fair treatment of all its members of workforce, which includes the porters. So as tourists, we would ask that you first educate yourself. And one way of educating is go to the website for the Porter Voice Collective, read and listen to the stories of the porters, because that's really the way to educate yourself about the truths of what's happening with them. And then you can support our crowdfunding so we can create the platform for more education for you, which would be, this is going to be an in-depth way for us to investigate and to bring to you the information that you need as a tourist. So to give you the knowledge, so when you book a tour next time or a trek anywhere in Nepal, Peru, or Tanzania, you're going to have a conversation with the company and say, we saw this documentary. Can you comment on whether you're treating the porters right? What do you think about this? I think one gap we're finding is that tourists don't have the ammunition by way of knowledge to argue against, what the companies are doing. Now we're bringing it to you. This is what Kilometer 82 is trying to do. And so if you can support the crowdfunding, that would be one direct way to help us. And of course, watching the KM82 when it shows, when we air it next year and when it comes out, that would be another way of helping the porters as well. And we also have our social media, Facebook page for Port of Voice Collective. You can follow along. Port of Voice Collective will continue telling the stories of porters from Nepal, Peru, and Kilimanjaro. It will be done as long as we can. As long as the porters are speaking, we're going to continue to document their stories. This will be an ongoing effort until such time that the industry changes. And Kilometer 82 is just one first of a series of films that we're hoping to create. Eventually, we want to go to Kilimanjaro and tell the stories of the porters there via a documentary, the same way we want to do it in Nepal. And so if people can rally behind this movement by joining the Porter Voice Collective Facebook page, we can continue on with the movement. This is really not this is not a documentary that's just meant to be watched once and then we close the book on it. We actually want people to be curious. We want them to ask questions. We want them to speak up. And so that's how tourists can really help the porters.
¿Tienes mensaje para las mujeres, todo el mundo?
Marinel asked Lucia if she had anything she wanted to share with women who are listening.
We are, ¿cómo se dice eso? Resistant?
Resilient. We are resilient.
Yeah, we are resilient than how we want, no matter what happens. If we get many troubles, when we don't have food for give to our children, no matter how, always we get something for them. The power. The power from the ladies can be very strong. And the most ladies just moved for love. Can be for the children, for the sons, can be for the parents, can be also for the man. And we are strong in that side.
I think Lucia is right, and I think it bears repeating. We women are strong in love.
It's a lot of work for us, so get emotional. it's been tough because not everyone wants to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have an outdoor industry that's like lacking in equity. You're going to work on equity in one aspect of it, and you're going to ignore everything else. So I think that if we elevate the borders, to be honest, we can elevate any other issue in this industry.
Support Kilometra 82 and the Porter Voice Collective by contributing to their crowdfunding campaign, linked in our show notes and via the episode landing page at she-explorers.com. I'll also link to the Porter Voice Collective and other resources Marinel mentioned. Thank you to Marinel and Lucia for taking the time to talk. Thank you to our sponsors, Danner, Smartwool, and Ritual. As always, links and discount codes are listed on the episode landing page and in the show notes. Learn more about She Explores by heading to our website, she-explorers.com, or by finding us on social media. Instagram is at she_explorers. Everywhere else, it's just She Explores. If you enjoy listening, review the podcast or share it with a friend. Those are two ways to help support us. You can also join us in our She Explores podcast Facebook group. It's where we continue the conversations we begin here and start new ones too. Music is by Kay Engel, Lee Rosevere, Josh Woodward, and Maiden. Until next week, have fun out there.